Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, modern monetary theory, MMT as it's known, it sounds like the subject of a lecture destined to put undergrads to sleep. But among macroeconomists, MMT is far from soporific. Stephanie Kelton, who's a leading MMT scholar at Stony Brook University, has advised the likes of Bernie Sanders, a senator and U.S. presidential candidate. We see U.S. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. She's a young flag bearer of the American left at the moment. And she cites MMT when asked how she plans to pay for a Green New Deal. And as MMT's political stock has risen, so has the temperature of debate about this heterodox economic theory. Well, the man with the view from the market no doubt has a strong view, as do I, on MMT. Liston Mainties, portfolio manager at Invest Securities. Evening, Liston.
Good evening, Michael, and the listeners.
Now, Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, now at Harvard University, recently called MMT the new voodoo economics. And I think that's an insult formerly reserved for the notion that tax cuts pay for themselves. What is MMT?
Well, essentially, it says that government debt is irrelevant if it's in your own currency. And you can look at it, in fact, in a couple of ways. And they've got a wonderful equation, which is very simple, basic economics. If the government spends more than it raises in tax, so take G minus T on the one side of the equation, whatever that is must be equal to savings, less investment, less foreign exchange movements. And that equation must hold. So clearly, if the government spends more than it is able to raise in taxes, that's very good for the private side of the economy. And this is really the essence of MMT. It's saying, you know, government spending boosts the public, the private economy, rather than government taking over. So lots of debate about it. It turns out to be a very old idea. I was reading up about it today, and somebody in 1905 suggested it as an alternative to the gold standard. Now, golly, you're really going some way, as you say, in the lecture room to bring all of those topics up all in one go. But essentially, some people are really excited about it, and Powell, the man of the moment, says the concept of MMT is just wrong. And Jeffrey Grundlach, who is a good fund manager, a hedge fund manager, he says MMT is complete nonsense.
And Warren Buffett has joined the chorus as well, saying, "I'm not a fan of MMT, yeah. Not at all."
Now, again, I've got a slightly different model in my brain of how this works. And the first thing I say is that in a financial transaction, money is neither created nor destroyed. And it really comes back to the fact that you can get operating leverage out of a bank, lending more than the deposits by a factor controlled by the Reserve Bank in terms of the limits that they place on it. But essentially, my deposit, my payment to you is your deposit. It comes out of my bank account into yours. And by and large, the same thing holds true if we swap assets. I give you a check, you give me the asset, and but basically, we're all quite square. And it does call into question some of the transactions on stock exchanges where they say somebody is buying. Well, obviously, somebody was selling on the other side of that. So when they tell me, you know, that people are pouring money into America, I say, well, hang on, somebody is selling.
Someone's exiting, yeah, on the other side. Yeah. And also the idea of governments just being able to spend their way to economic growth or borrow their way to economic growth, it wasn't very effective in Japan. Just ask them how their own version of MMT has worked out over the last few decades.
Well, again, I think, and that comes back even to quantitative easing. And people are exonerating quantitative easing on the basis of MMT. But the essence of quantitative easing was that they bought from holders a whole lot of government debt. And the end result was that put money back into the economy. It was supposed to be used productively. But actually, what people discovered was
because the
cost of that money was 1%, and you're paying a 3% dividend, it makes an awful lot of sense for you to go and buy your own shares back rather than build a factory. And by the way, at the same time, the rhetoric amongst the media was that times are terrible. That's why interest rates have to be so low. So because times are terrible, you don't build a factory. You rather buy your shares back. Again, it's quite a fascinating experiment. Let's put it that way.
It is indeed.
And I want to see the way out.
Interesting debate.
I want to see the way out.
Well, that is the problem. We seem to have been hooked on our own peculiar version of MMT via quantitative easing, and we don't see an end to it anytime soon, certainly in the European Union. Speaking of which, UK Prime Minister Theresa May is going to be hoping that the third time's the charm when she tries to get the House to back her next Brexit vote. I think the question being posed in Downing Street this week must be, what will it take for more than 70 lawmakers to back her and get her deal over the line?
Well, again, we discussed this last week, and I pretty well said, you know, you're getting two impossible motions in front of Parliament. The one said, there's an offer on the table, do you want to take it? And the answer was no. The next day, the question was, do you want a hard Brexit? And the answer was, no. Now, you don't have much choice, do you? So the third hope for is buy more time. And quite correctly, you can't be sure that all 27 nations in the EU will agree. Only one of them has to say no, and you can't have an extension of time.
Mm.
So I think Theresa May knows this, and she's now going to them and saying, actually, there's one offer on the table. There may never be another one. You don't want a hard Brexit, do you? You voted that way. Now, I promise you, if you don't accept this, the chances of a hard Brexit are high. Because if I go to the EU and I ask for time, and it has been true, Tusk has said, we don't mind if you take quite some time. We'd rather we got to a good solution than we have a bad one. But there might just be one country in Europe that says no, and it might be Greece. It might be Italy. I wouldn't like to speculate who it might be, but you only have to have one black ball in the bag to say no go, Joe.
I think there are a fair few with political axes to grind there, so take your pick. PwC finally released its report after the market closed on Friday. Unfortunately, I wasn't in on Friday. I was in the dentist chair, not my favourite place in the world to be, but looking through the 11-odd pages, the executive summary of a 3,000-page-long document with 4,000 pages of addendums, I feel shortchanged. I really do, and I'm sure all shareholders do at this stage. It's all about being sub judice and legal privilege and all the rest of it. That just really isn't good enough, Lister.
Well, no, it isn't. But again, you know, what they have said is, you know, there were some miscreants. Now, the real question is, they haven't named them, but we pretty well can, I think all of us. They were inflating prices. Now, the fact that they've come up with a number of 6.5 billion euro over a 10-year period, because they went back to 2009, although their brief wasn't quite there, that far back. And they say, you know, things could go further back. Now, I think I may have told you, but certainly I believe that. And there's a case, I think it was in 2004, 2005, where fingers were pointed and said, this is not proper. So, you know, the warning signals were there a considerable time back. Now, the real question is, if you inflated the prices and you kept on doing it, where is that 100 billion rand? It isn't in the accounts to the end of 2016. There's no minus 100 billion. Now, you might say the values are inflated, but they don't appear to be that inflated either. Because, again, I've looked at this and I've looked at each of the, you know, the sub-components. Yes, they may have inadvertently and through this ruse gained access to cheap finance. Through shareholders following their rights,
and or
another shareholder joining forces and providing you with a very large company.
Christoph Visser, who's apparently now keen to sit down and talk around the table, because no one's got 56
billion
lying
around. What he wanted to talk about was, just give me my $4 billion back and I'll be fine. I'll give you your shares back.
It's the one thing that did emerge from the report that Pepkor have obviously jumped all over, the fact that it's exonerated Pepkor and many of the South African operations. And as you alluded to in the PwC report, they don't mention them by name, but they say part of the Steinhoff executive management team and A. Steinhoff, executive management head, basically naming Marcus Huerster. And as you said, on the 17th floor, we can, through a process of elimination, tell you exactly who those names are when they're in a circle. But Visa now seems to be quite keen to repair the damage, to say, well, how can we actually repair all of this? The share price did jump on the news today. Perhaps those shareholders who are taking a punt on a penny stock at the moment thought it might be worse. Is there enough in this to be excited about a repair job? Can Steinhoff emerge from this?
No, just have a look at everything. I mean, in a simplest form, Steinhoff still owns about 75% of Pepkor. Pepkor's got a market cap in excess of 50 billion. 75% of that, call it 40 billion. And the market cap of Steinhoff is 8 billion. So there's 32 billion rand. Now, that doesn't equate to 100, you see. So I really want to know where that 100 is, how it is, and whatever it is. Go back to Christo Visa. At the same time as he injected Pepkor, but remember, quite a bit of that Pepkor was held in Brait. And Steinhoff paid 15 billion rand in cash and Steinhoff shares for the Pepkor. Now, if one part of the deal is undone, I maintain the other bit must be undone as well. So Brait will have to hand 15 billion rand back in cash. I'm not sure they can do that. So, again, I just think this is something that keeps the lawyers extremely happy.
Lots of billable hours still in the future of all the corporate advisors in this one. Lister Maintjes, portfolio manager at Invest Securities, with your view from the market. Let's find out what's happening in the traffic with Pusoletso.